Somewhere in the U.S., there is said to be the Our Lady of Martyrs Catholic Church and the Beulah Cumberland Presbyterian Church across the street from each other. They are said to have waged a theological debate in the public forum of the signs outside each church. The Catholics start. Now, they're apparently the more liberal of the two. And the Presbyterians reply, building into a debate worthy of the Council of Nicaea. The Catholics start with their sign that says, "All dogs go to heaven." Presbyterians reply, "Only humans go to heaven. Read the Bible. God loves all his creations, dogs included." "Dogs don't have souls. This is not open for debate." "Catholic dogs go to heaven." "Presbyterian dogs can talk to their pastor." Now, some versions of this controversy stop there and some go on. The ones that go on, the Presbyterians then say, "Converting to Catholicism does not magically grant your dog a soul." And the Catholic sign says, "Free dog souls on conversion." The Presbyterian says, "Dogs are animals. There aren't any rocks in heaven either." And the Catholic final reply is, "All rocks go to heaven." If you are new this morning, you may be wondering what you have wandered into with a minister standing up in the pulpit telling jokes. After all, we Unitarian Universalists are known for our rationality in pursuit of religion. Perhaps you heard about the time that there was a priest and a UU minister. They were at the scene of a terrible accident, and the priest bent to take the confession of last confession of one person, and he said, "My son, do you believe in God the Father, Jesus Christ the Savior, and the Holy Spirit?" And the UU minister overheard that, and he didn't want to appear unprofessional, so he bent over someone and he said, "Do you believe in open inquiry, the use of reason, and questioning authority?" So you may ask, how appropriate can it be for a faith that believes in depth of intellectual exploring to be sharing jokes in Sunday worship? The answer is, pretty darned appropriate. One writer says, "Humor is the sense of the absurd, which is despair, refusing to take itself seriously." How easy it is to approach despair when we read once again of a horror perpetrated by a religion that believes that it has the whole and only truth for all people. It is exceptionally serious business. At the same time, we can do little to affect directly the outcomes of fundamentalist awfulness. We can be as compassionate as we know how to be as faithful individuals, and we can laugh. The church signs war didn't actually happen. There's a website that lets you create fake church signs if you want to. But it's no more absurd than the wars that do happen. And this one just happens to be funny. Religion and spirituality are among humankind's most deeply serious pursuits. We humans, over the millennia, as long as there have been humans, just don't seem to be able to not be religious one way or another. Personally speaking, as many of you know, my soul is deeply involved in reverence for mystery, in prayer, as without ceasing as I can, spiritual practices of various kinds, a lively sense of amazement at everything that is, and so much that I cannot know. My life is literally built on those things. And they illuminate all of my joys, my sorrows, and my regular days. At the same time, I am wildly aware of how just plain silly we humans can be, thinking we have some kind of in with the great whatever, feeling ourselves secretly a little holier than our fellow travelers, when we are actually unspeakably small potatoes in the cosmic scheme of things. We really need to laugh. Religious jokes are among the most common in the world. There's a story about a priest and a rabbi who were having a conversation about their religious principles. So the priest gets a man-to-man look on his face, kind of nudges the rabbi and says, "I know you're not supposed to eat pork, but just between us, come on now. I'll bet you've eaten it a time or two." The rabbi kind of swallows and says, "Yeah, I enjoyed the odd piece of bacon from time to time. Now let me ask you a question. I know that you have taken vows of celibacy. I'll bet, just between the two of us, that you've given in to the temptation to break that vow a time or two." The priest sheepishly confesses, "Yeah, once or twice." The rabbi says, "It's a lot better than pork, isn't it?" Or there's the religious wisdom of children. The pastor is standing here with his arms up, his face upturned, saying, "Dear Lord, without you, we are but dust." And a little girl's voice is heard in the back saying, "Mommy, what is but dust?" Or the mother who is trying to teach her children good church etiquette. And so she asks them on the way to church, "Why is it necessary to be quiet in church? Is it because people are sleeping?" And then another kid one, standing outside their church, looking at plaques with a lot of names on them, a father and son are conversing. And dad says, "Eric, these are the people who died in the services." Eric becomes wide-eyed with horror, and he says, "The 9:30 or the 11:15? Some jokes serve to show us that our beliefs are important. Like the atheist Unitarian Universalist who is hiking in the forest. Suddenly, a gigantic bear charges out of the woods right at him, standing up on his hind legs. Roar. The man shouts, "God help me!" Everything stops, and a booming voice resounds. "You, who have made fun of all religion, especially Christianity, now want me to help you. Have you become a Christian all of a sudden?" Well, the man, even in his extremity, feels like that would be pretty bad hypocrisy. So he cries to God, "No, but please at least make the bear a Christian." God thinks about it for a minute and says, "That's not unreasonable." Things start up again. And the man sees the bear on his knees, paws together reverently. And the bear is saying, "Thank you, Lord, for this food which we are about to receive." Religion, as Reverend Forrest Church used to remind us, is about being alive and having to die. There is much humor around the subject of death and dying. Like Woody Allen's statement that he doesn't mind the thought of death at all, he just doesn't want to be there when it happens. And he also said, "I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve it by not dying." Or Oscar Wilde, who is supposed to have been on his deathbed when he looked around the room and said, "This wallpaper is terrible. One of us has got to go." The idea of laughing hypothetically, might seem callous and inhumane. But death is such an important part of life that it comes in for the laughing along with everything else, even as we grieve. How many memorial services have you been to where we've been crying our eyes out and laughing our heads off? Remember George Bernard Shaw's words that Bev read. Life does not cease to be funny when people die any more than it ceases to be serious when people laugh. Now, religious people often have trouble about money. They usually give lip service to the truth that a congregation needs a healthy financial budget to thrive. They sometimes even acknowledge that our monetary generosity is part of our spiritual commitment. At the same time, actions and words can belie this. Congregation members can get in high dudgeon because their canvasser knows what they pledged last year and is willing to ask them if they can give more. An annual pledge drive and a capital drive in the same year will bring predictable, outraged mutterings about how nobody in church leadership cares about anything but money and all they ever do is ask for money. So, those examples I just gave you are real. Because of that, it is vital to laugh at ourselves about the touchy intersection of money and religion. There was a conversation going on in a bank drawer between two extremely well-worn bills, money bills, a 20 and a 1. The 20 was fondly reminiscing about casinos and nice shops and fancy restaurants and cruises, and the $1 bill was sort of awestruck. So it shared that it had actually been in lots of interesting places, lots of interesting churches, in fact, like Methodist and Unitarian Universalist and Lutheran and Cumberland Presbyterian. And the $20 bill was looking more and more perplexed as it went along, and it interrupted, "What's a church?" And then there was a time that there were a couple of guys from our church who were out sailing in the middle of the ocean. And a terrible storm came up. They found themselves washed up on a desert island, of course. One of them was agitated beyond belief, running around, wringing his hands, rending his garments, weeping. And the other one was relaxing against a palm tree, humming a little song, enjoying the sun on the water and the sparkling sand. The first one said, "How in heck can you be so calm? We could die here." The second one smiled and replied, "I'm probably the church's biggest pledger, about $10,000 a year. I know Elizabeth will find me." Laughter is not a denial of life's seriousness. If we can create and appreciate humor, making up situations in which our suffering, our wondering, our unbearable longings, our human despairs, the stupid things that we do, if we can find situations where all of these take laughably unexpected twists, we can enter the lightness of laughter. Have any of you heard the Dalai Lama speak? He laughs all the time. If we laugh, even though sometimes crying at precisely the same time, we are more likely to find our center, wherein dwells the holy, as we experience it. If we can genuinely see the absurdity of the human condition, our suffering is likely to be lightened. How do you feel about pretentious people? I was a literature major in college and continue to love literature, but I do not love self-important writers and poets, those who believe that they have a corner on the emotions, the great archetypal emotions of the world. I don't like them at all, and I think they deserve to be satirized. So I've always loved this poem by Mike Nichols. It showed up in the New Yorker in 1996, and I still have it on my refrigerator. It goes like this. You have not, as I, walked the silent, sleeping streets with streaming eyes, running from the women in the windows. You have not slid, as I have slid, under the seas, to see the shells smiling and swimming silently. You have not seen the moon running along the sky. So shut up. We have dislikes toward pretentious people or people with character traits that we find difficult. And these give rise to what I would call an iffy category of humor, which is the witty remark at another's expense. Ideally, this would never happen, because sometimes they're kind of mean-spirited. In the hands of articulate people, though, they can be pretty funny. Mark Twain once said, "I didn't attend the funeral, but I sent a nice letter saying I approved of it." A man named John Bright said he's a self-made man and he worships his creator. Andrew Lang said he uses statistics as a drunken man uses lampposts for support rather than illumination. Billy Wilder said he has Van Gogh's ear for music. Count Talleyrand once said in order to avoid being called a flirt, she always yielded easily. And Woody Allen once again says, his lack of education is more than made up for by his moral bankruptcy. Let me close by taking us back to more gentle humor, the kind that we all create all the time because we are humans and we make mistakes, sometimes with unintended laughter as a result. Kids, in fact, do say the darndest things. Here are some answers given by elementary school students when asked to provide the ending, if given the beginning, of well-known adages and sayings. Don't change horses until they stop running. The pen is mightier than the pigs. That's true. Don't put off till tomorrow what you put on to go to bed. When the blind lead the blind, get out of the way. And a bird in the hand is going to poop on you. And finally, there are always church bulletin bloopers. They almost always are either a typo or a misplaced modifier. And they end up communicating things that the original person did not intend. Like, well, this one actually just, I think they didn't get it. The fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Okay? That's my kind of fasting. Ladies' Bible study will be held Thursday morning at 10 a.m. All ladies are invited to lunch in the fellowship after the BS is done. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind, and they may be seen in the basement on Friday afternoon. 8 new choir robes are currently needed due to the addition of several new members and to the deterioration of some of the older ones. Kara, you know about those? Please place your donation in the envelope along with the deceased person you want remembered. Big envelope. And finally, this evening at 7 p.m., there will be hymn singing in the park across from the church. Bring a blanket and come prepared to sin. We are human beings all. We are sinners, in fact. We sometimes succeed and we fail lots of times. We aim for the greatest of nobility and often find that we are anything but noble. We are frequently so very proud of our little selves and take those little selves pretty seriously sometimes to the detriment of our soul's development. We love each other. We lose each other. We look at it all and we try to see what it means. We cry and we laugh.